Well, what the focus of the conference is to look at the explosion of state and local laws that impact immigration. In the U.S. system, Congress and the federal government have the responsibility to implement, enforce, and make immigration law. But because it's such a polarized issue, Congress has not acted on immigration. And out of frustration, frankly, the states and localities are becoming their own creators of immigration law across the country. Now, of course, this is something the church is very concerned about because we would like to see one policy across the nation that's uniform, consistent, and humane. But what we're starting to see is 50 different policies from 50 states and also different policies in localities across the country. So the focus is to look at some of these state laws and some of these local government actions and see how we can engage them, oppose those that we think are harsh, and organize around them.
The church has often in the past few years described the current immigration system in the U.S. as a broken system, but nothing's been done to mend it and is nothing likely to be done, presumably, before the next presidential elections, because I imagine it's not a vote winner.
Well, yes. Usually in an election year, it's difficult politically to get something as major as immigration reform through Congress. It's just a very divisive issue. It's one which politicians, especially presidential ones, think that even if they did do the right thing and spent political capital on the issue, that they would be criticized and it wouldn't necessarily build support for them. So it's highly unlikely that there'll be major legislation this year. That doesn't mean that it won't be a topic of conversation. Certainly in the debates and in the political rhetoric, immigration will be discussed. What's interesting here is that some political pundits believe that the growing Hispanic vote in the United States, which is more influential, is in part influenced by how candidates take a position on immigration, because our current period, this flow of Hispanic immigrants is higher than, for example, European immigrants or Asian immigrants. So when one party or one candidate is harsh on immigration, it is not as popular in that population, and it impacts who they vote for. So immigration will certainly be part of the political discourse this year, both positive and negative, and it could have some impact on the outcome of the presidential election.
Now, you talked about the fact that each state is taking matters into its own hands. Where are the states that have perhaps harshest measures, let's say, in terms of enforcing immigration laws? And what are some of these areas of most concern to the bishops?
Well, the one that's most well-known is the law out of the state of Arizona. Arizona, of course, is in the southwest portion of the United States and is actually a corridor for undocumented immigration. So 2 years ago, Arizona passed a landmark law, which, of course, the Arizona bishops did oppose, which had a number of provisions which allow police to, for example, ask for someone's papers or documentation just based upon a suspicion that they could be undocumented. It also allows police to detain people until they can prove that they are either U.S. citizens or legal residents. Now, on its face, someone would think that's really reasonable, but what the bishops are concerned about is that it could lead to, for example, racial profiling, or that that those who are U.S. citizens certainly could be detained or their civil rights violated. It also is moving in the wrong direction that the bishops would like to see the issue go. Certainly the bishops would like to see Congress provide some sort of legal status to the 11 million undocumented in the country, and this is going in the opposite direction. It actually has targeted immigrants and also led to the separation of families through deportation. So that's the controversy. Interestingly, the Arizona law has just been, which is in the courts, has just been referred to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court will rule on the law this year, probably coming out in June, and this will really set the stage for what will happen on immigration in the United States for years to come. So it's an important moment. Other states have followed Arizona and even have had harsher laws that have been passed. That would include Alabama, for example, Georgia, and now South Carolina. So it's starting to move to other states, and we and others are doing our best to stop those state laws so that federal law can eventually be passed.
Isn't there also a risk that the migrants themselves, the undocumented migrants, would tend to go to those states where they don't have these harsh measures against them?
Yes, and that's true. And there have been reports, I don't know if there's been any comprehensive studies, but there have been reports, for example, in Alabama, that agricultural growers are experiencing a lack of workers because immigrants are leaving that state because they're fearful that they are going to be arrested or deported. And that has played into the national discussion on Capitol Hill, that some of these laws have the effect of driving immigrants to other parts of the country, and that in important labor sectors, there's a lack of appropriate labor, including in agriculture. So we have seen that effect. To the degree it has happened, it's hard to calculate at this point, but it is happening.
And is the number of undocumented migrants in the U.S. staying fairly steady as far as one can deduce, or is it slowly going up?
That's an interesting question. In the last 20 to 25 years, since the last major bill that would legalize immigrants was passed in 1986, the number of undocumented in the country has tripled from about 3 or 4 million to about 11 million today. But when the recession began in 2007, that stopped. And at one point, there were 12 million undocumented immigrants, and now there are about 11 million. And commentators and researchers say that now that the migration to the United States has really slowed to a trickle, whereas in the years earlier in the decade, or right after the turn of the century, we would receive about 300,000 to 500,000 immigrants a year that were either came without legal status or overstayed their visas. And now we see that immigrants who are undocumented are not coming as frequently because of the recession and because the difficulty of crossing the border with all the law enforcement and also with the drug wars going on. And also, immigrants that are here and have lived here for a long time are not going home because they're fearful that they'll be arrested on the way home. So it's almost as if it's not a positive flow anymore. There's still some that come, certainly, but it's certainly not what it was 3 or 4 years ago.
And how much hostility is there towards undocumented migrants among Americans at large? Do you sense that hostility is growing, perhaps especially since the global financial crisis began to bite?
Certainly, and this is a historical trend. Whenever there's been a recession or the economy is down, immigrants, especially those out of status, become scapegoats for those citizens who feel like they're losing ground. And that's been true over the last couple of years. I think that, you know, despite that, the Americans overall are still very compassionate and welcoming to immigrants. The big issue, and it's regardless, I think, of where the economy is rule of law. They didn't come legally, so we can't reward them, is one issue. The other sort of sleeper issue is, are we experiencing a change in our way of life because there's so many immigrants coming? Are we losing the American identity because we have so many immigrants coming? That's an issue that also is at play. But we've seen that in the history of our country, these sort of feelings have happened periodically, and it usually returns back to normal once the economy gets better. The other thing I would add is that we also still have the specter of national security on the the mind of the American people from the attacks of 9/11 and from other incidents. So that combination of national security concerns and economic concerns really makes immigrants more suspect in a lot of people's minds and harms the political environment for immigration reform.
And do you find that even sometimes among the Catholic community that anti-immigrant attitudes or at least suspicion of immigrants can be present?
Yes, and we have a lot of work to do to educate more Catholics about the realities of migration and what the bishop's position is. That is true. But what is heartening is that overall when we see polls done about immigration, Catholics generally are 2 to 3 to 4% higher in favor of, for example, humane reform of our immigration laws than other groups may be. And I think that overall, the American public is a majority in support of immigration reform. So this is something that we can build upon. The problem is I don't think the American public or Catholics think that should be a priority right now. If Congress were to spend 2 or 3 weeks just on immigration, I don't think it would be popular because they think that they should be working on the economy and the budget and other things such as that. So yes, there are those in the Catholic Church who disagree with the bishops. There are those who need to be educated, and those are folks in the middle, primarily politically, who would be supportive, but they just don't see it as a high priority at this present moment.